to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 396, just four away from 400. With me tonight is Seth Zillman. We will be talking about news, Raw, and NXT. Seth, how the hell are you?
Well, it's kind of a funny coincidence here with our respective shows. We got episode 396 here, and you know, last week I did episode 350 of Geekville Radio. Both those are Chevy small block displacement engines, so hey ho to all the car nuts out there.
Nice. Well, we're going to get right into it, and we're going to discuss some news of the early part of the week. And based on what you saw on SmackDown on Friday, the ending kind of felt a little weird. Like it wasn't supposed to end that way, or like we were going to get something else. And it did turn out that reportedly Fox denied WWE's request for an overrun for SmackDown, as the segment was supposed to end with a brawl. And in my opinion, this sounds like extremely sour grapes from Fox, since they are no longer going to be having SmackDown come October.
Well, the only question I'd have to that is, have they done an overrun before? Because I'm not sure if they had. And because, I mean, when is cable? I'm just shooting from the hip here. I honestly don't know for sure. But I think with regular broadcast TV, trying to get an overrun, it might be a bigger problem than on cable, especially when on cable you're considered, you know, obviously on USA, they're still one of the top shows on USA across the board. Whereas with Fox, you know, not so much. And I know they do well in the demo, but I think that just might be it. It just might be because it's broadcast network versus cable. Like I said, I honestly don't know, just kind of throwing it out there.
And that certainly could be. The only contention point I have with that is Raw has a drop dead, go off the air at 10 o'clock Central. They used to have an overrun on USA for Raw, because I remember I would have to record like a half hour after the DVR was scheduled to go off because of the overruns.
Yeah,
and then something changed where they just said, nope, 10 o'clock, boom, done.
Well, I would hope so, given it's 3 hours long.
Well, 3:15 some weeks, but yeah, I don't know what happened with that. I can't remember them doing an overrun on SmackDown, but I know that if it's like a minute or two, it's not that big of a deal, but it did seem like that segment should have ended in a brawl, and sure enough, it was supposed to. You know, if they would get people involved in the same segment that didn't take up 25% of the time of the segment with their goddamn slow entrances, then they would have had time and they would have timed it out right. But, you know, everybody's got to take 5 years to get to the ring. So we also have our next two WWE Hall of Fame inductees. The first one is the celebrity wing entrant, and that is Muhammad Ali. He was the referee for WrestleMania 1's main event. And then today we were told that the next inductee is Thunderbolt Patterson. And unfortunately, that was way before my time, and I have no clue of anything about him other than he was around in the Dusty Rhodes era.
Yeah, he was, I don't think he was ever a top guy, but he definitely was that upper mid-card guy, because I would actually use him as the measuring stick when I talk about Ric Flair. I would say Ric Flair didn't necessarily have to cheat to beat Thunderbolt Patterson, but he needed to cheat to beat Dusty or Magnum or whatnot. So I was a little surprised. Obviously, we know now that this isn't Vince's call. I'm assuming it's Hunter probably has the last say in that. I don't think this would have happened if Vince was still running the show, because I don't think Thunderbolt ever actually had any real time in the WWE. But also regarding Muhammad Ali, I mean, his wrestling connection goes farther than just Mania, because he had that match with Inoki, and I think he worked with Flair in Korea. I think he was involved in that Korea match with Flair and Inoki. So his, while he's probably best known in wrestling for the Mania referee thing, you know, he did do other wrestling appearances besides that.
Right. And I'm sure, you know, knowing the historian that Triple H is, that'll be covered.
Yeah.
I saw, I don't know if I want to, I'm debating on whether to cover this or not. I just saw something online before we came to record that supposedly back in February, there was a reported leak of the Hall of Fame inductees. And everybody was like, oh, it's just like a WrestleMania card. Nothing on that's going to be accurate. And it turns out every single one has been accurate so far. And the last two on the list are Leah Maivia, which is The Rock's grandmother, and Bray Wyatt. So we will have to see if this leak that was posted somewhere goes 100% correct. We'll have to see. I'm sure the rest of the announcements will come next week, unless The Rock announces his grandmother on SmackDown, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, hopefully they don't change it because it leaked out. That would be silly.
Yeah, well, they haven't so far. Other news, Miro and CJ Perry are getting divorced. The couple have been separated since December 2023, and CJ says they grew apart, but hope to remain friends and still work together on TV if the opportunity presents itself.
Oh, well, I'm not going to say anything positive or negative about CJ Perry, the former Lana, because I value my head attached to my shoulders, and I'm afraid Miro will hunt me down if I say say the wrong thing. So I will wish them both the best.
And in the last piece of news, ahead of her debut on Big Business, Mercedes Moné was told by doctors that her ankle injury was initially thought to be career-ending. She reportedly had two surgeries to repair her ankle and was set to debut at Big Business tonight. So could you just imagine if they weren't able to repair her ankle and she was forced, like many other of her peers, to retire early?
Yeah, that would have been horrible.
And if you think about it, and as was mentioned tonight, but we'll get into that on the next episode, but Mercedes is now a peer and coworker of the woman she wrestled when she broke her ankle, and that's Willow Nightingale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those that may not know the full story, she was going to win that New Japan Strong Women's title, but she got injured in that match, and as such, Willow won the match and the title. So there can be some, pun intended, unfinished business between those two since they're in the same company now.
Right. And as we mentioned when it happened, Mercedes did change the finish or call the finish on the fly that Willow should win the title. So good for her. And now she's going to reap the benefits of being back on North American pro wrestling television. All right, moving on to Monday Night Raw from this past Monday. Things started out with a Drew McIntyre in-ring promo talking about how Seth is being selfish and continues to think about himself because now he's got not one, but two matches at WrestleMania, which is hilarious to me because if Drew's the heel, he should want Seth to get beat up on night one so that he can have easy pickings on night two. But no, he's going to bitch about it.
Yeah, yeah, like, I thought the same thing.
It's like, that don't make no sense, Seth. Or Drew. So, yeah. Seth comes out, talks about how it's more about the landscape of the wrestling future and not just Drew and not just Seth. I still see Drew coming out of Mania with the title, but I guess that all depends on how contract negotiations are going, unless the title win is the last cherry on top to get him to sign. So who knows?
Yep. I agree with all that. And I echo what I've said before. I think all of us have said Drew might be doing some of the best work of his entire career right now.
It's amazing what a new character or a couple of tweaks to a character does for somebody. I mean, we've said it for weeks on end with Tony Storm in AEW. Drew McIntyre, a couple of tweaks, not even a change of his character per se. It's just more of the classic heel who's justified. But in this case, he's literally justified. He is spitting facts about, about what's happened to him. And it's just coming off more smarmy, I guess.
Yeah. So the best villains have a measure of truth to what they say.
Yeah. Good stuff. Becky Lynch defeated Liv Morgan. Post-match, there was a promo battle between Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. I want to say that this build, because it's got history attached to it, I want to say this build between Rhea and Becky is better than the build between Rhea and Charlotte last year. Because if you remember last year, we were loathing how bad they were dropping the ball with the build. But we got an amazing match at Mania. The build just should have been more than it was. This, I feel, still could get ratcheted up another notch. But I understand what they're trying to do with Becky ahead of facing Rhea. So I still like this segment, and I liked everything tied into this more than, like I said, what we had last year.
And Rhea's another one that's doing the best work of her career. And I think last year with the Charlotte buildup, we still just kind of bad taste in our mouths that she should have beaten Charlotte, what, like 2 or 3 years ago when they did the match the first time.
Right. We had the teased massive announcement from Raw GM Adam Pearce and SmackDown GM Nick Aldis, and people over the weekend were going apeshit thinking they're going to split the titles. They're going to split the tag titles, and they still haven't split the tag titles, although they've made it possible that it can happen within a match, and I'll get to that in a second. But what they did announce was that the Judgment Day will be defending their titles in a 6-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team titles. Teams will begin qualifying on Raw and SmackDown. And could you imagine 12 bodies in a ladder match at the same time? It's like combining two Money in the Banks together to make one giant match.
Yeah, and modern booking would still have an interference because a match between 12 guys probably would still need interference for some reason.
Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. That might have been the Vince era.
Yeah.
But what people have been saying is that it's very possible, especially if Awesome Truth is one of these five teams, it's very possible that Truth could grab the Raw tag titles, not realizing he needed to grab both, and then another team simultaneously grabs the SmackDown titles. And then they're finally split because each team has a right to claim what they touched. So as part of this fallout, Judgment Day come barging into Adam Pearce's office demanding to know, you know, why they're being screwed over in this type of a match. And whose idea was it? Was it Adam's or was it Nick's? And Adam's like, well, we get ideas from a lot of places. And Nick's like, we should probably just tell him. And Adam goes, are you serious? And it turns out that they got the idea talking to Miz and R-Truth. And so Damian's like, great, we're going to settle this right now. Give us R-Truth and Miz in a match. And Adam goes, well, they're not here. You can't have a match. They're out doing media. And as soon as he says media, 2 seconds later, R-Truth walks in. He goes, hey, man, what's up? And Adam's like, why are you here? You're supposed to be out doing media. And Truth's like, man, that's on Monday. No worries. And Adam leans in. He's like, it is Monday. Oh, my bad.
And that's the thing. It just shows how good Truth is because a lot of this stuff is so corny, but he pulls it off so well. You know, not everybody would be as entertaining as Truth is in this stuff because it's not necessarily the best comedic writing, but boy, he knocks it out of the park when it comes to doing this stuff
every single time. And it's so much more entertaining than what he was doing in the 24/7 era.
Definitely
craptacular humor. But yes, kudos to R-Truth. He is, as we always say, a national treasure. Then we got weird segment. Well, it was a match, but a weird part of the match. It was Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae taking on Ivy Nile and Maxine Dupri. And towards the end of the match, Candice like fully cemented herself turning heel by interrupting Maxine doing her version of the worm or the caterpillar or whatever the hell it's called. And kind of like blocks her from doing it and then verbally backs her up into the corner and really just lays into her. Now, if you're aware of what's been happening to Maxine at the live events, she's getting booed because of her quote unquote poor wrestling. And so they're turning it into a story apparently. But I think they went like a level too far as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, the age old adage is if Maxine's okay with it, then you should be okay with it. But it just, I was a little uncomfortable watching it, but Candice essentially said, you know, if you think the internet hates you, you should hear what the girls in the locker room say about you. And then she said, you're lucky your dead brother isn't here or else he would be embarrassed by you. And Maxine says, I can't do this. She walks away from Candice straight into a boot from Indy, who didn't boot her because she knew she was distracted. I think Indy was just, she wasn't aware of what Candice said, and she just hit her with a boot, and then Candice told Indy to pin her, and she did, and they won. But it's a weird dichotomy because Candice is clearly a heel now. Indy's still a face, and it's going to be a weird thing moving forward. But yeah, I wasn't too thrilled with this.
Yeah, especially since we don't know that much about Maxine. Obviously, it was the first time I heard about her sibling dying. But it's kind of hard, I think, as a whole, to gain sympathy when it's something that we haven't seen happen. You know, if I hate to talk about this, but, you know, it's like if her brother had been on TV prior, you know, prior to his right. untimely death, you know, I think it would have meant more. But when you just say, oh, or yeah, her brother died.
If it would have been part of her character build from like NXT or something.
Right. If they talked about it for a while, if it was something that was mentioned some time ago and now is being brought back up.
Yeah, I agree. It kind of seemed to come out of nowhere, and it kind of, that's why I was uncomfortable with it, because it kind of just hit like salt in a wound, only almost for real. Like, it was like, damn, why'd you have to go there? We'll have to see how this plays out. I'm not sure if this is going to help Candice too much, but I don't know if she was a heel on the indies at any point. She was a heel when The Way in NXT was, but that was a more of a comedic heel type thing, not a vicious, vindictive type of heel. So we'll have to see who this helps moving forward. We got a great in-ring interview segment between Michael Cole and Cody Rhodes. I'm not going to get into the whole play-by-play of it, but I think it was an amazing segment, showed a lot of great emotion from Cody. He did some callbacks to when Cole had asked him about finishing the story back in October. Essentially, he says to Roman that this time last year, you said that we're only in the third inning. Well, I'm here to tell you that we're in the final inning. And he basically tells Michael Cole that he should feel privileged and lucky because at Mania, he's going to finally be able to say that a Rhodes is a champion in WWE or world champion or whatever, and that he was able to finish his story. He also says that the story is now just more beyond just him and Roman's title. It's for various different fan interactions he's had and for his siblings, for his wife, for his mother. So, yeah, really good segment.
Yep, agreed.
Okay, then we had a backstage segment between Becky and Liv again. But Becky extends her hand, Liv shakes it, and then they both get flattened by Nia Jax, who throws Liv into a box-like structure, which was just a case. and puts Becky through a concessions table with what looked like her version of a rock bottom or a manhandle slam or what have you. Then later on, Becky challenges Nia to a last woman standing match next week. So Becky continues to go for match after match after match on the on her road to WrestleMania.
And you notice the thing to add to this is Rhea's not really wrestling every week. So they can tell the story that Becky's right. getting slowly beat up over the weeks. So, you know, Becky's Batman and Rhea is Bane.
Then we had a women's tag title match where the Kabuki Warriors defeated Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. Not really sure where I see the women's tag titles ending up at Mania. It's probably going to be another multi-woman match, but one of these years, maybe we'll get a compelling story.
Yeah, I can't recall ever being invested in any of the women's tag title stories.
Yeah. Backstage segment with the Judgment Day and Andrade, where Rhea says to Andrade that Dom speaks highly of him and that they should talk business next week. And Andrade seemed to agree. So I'm kind of piqued my interest as to where this is going to go. I think they're going to keep Andrade a babyface. So maybe he's just going to end up being the next one that feuds with the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I could see that.
Damian Priest defeats R-Truth because since Miz wasn't there, he got Truth in a one-on-one match and basically just beat him easy peasy.
Yeah, pretty much what you'd expect.
They come back from a commercial and they show Rhea Ripley and Logan Paul at UFC 299, but they literally show Buddy Matthews in the picture with Rhea Ripley. And while Cole glosses over him, Pat McAfee says, "Who's she with?" And I fell out laughing because I feel like he said that on his own.
I think he honestly might have asked that because remember a couple weeks back when Sting retired, Pat McAfee said something about, "Oh man, that was an amazing match too." And Cole's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa."
Yeah. So the fact that an AEW wrestler got screen time, even though he used to work there, and the fact that Cole just completely glossed over who that was.
That's another one of those things that probably wouldn't have happened if Vince was still calling the shots, but.
In-ring segment with Jey Uso, where he challenges Jimmy to a fight at WrestleMania. He wasn't interrupted. Jimmy did not show up this time. So while this should have much more build than it has, hopefully now with, 5 weeks, 4 weeks left, we can get some movement on this, get some traction, and maybe build up the build from a C grade to hopefully a B plus, A minus somewhere in there, because this should mean a whole lot more than it currently does. And it feels like they've been trudging through molasses trying to get there.
Yeah, they probably need to shift gears.
And in the main event, we had a 6-man gauntlet match where the winner receives a shot at Gunther and the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania XL. Ricochet, JD McDonagh, Chad Gable, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Bronson Reed. This was started by JD McDonagh and Ricochet. Decent enough match. I know when I was watching it, I was like, damn, I wish he was still Jordan Devlin, because he was a badass in NXT UK. I know that for sure. Ricochet wins that one. Out next comes Bronson Reed, who then defeats Ricochet with a tsunami. Sami Zayn out, and Sami Zayn defeats Bronson Reed. And while Shinsuke Nakamura comes out next, Bronson Reed decides to take out his frustration and hits Sami with a tsunami after the match. Sami is able to shake it off, and eventually he defeats Shinsuke Nakamura, which brings out the final participant, Chad Gable. And Sami Zayn and Chad Gable put on a hell of a match, even though it was just the end of a gauntlet, but lots of drama. Chad was working on the ankle. He must have had the ankle lock on 3 or 4 times and had it. And it was, I don't think it was, if I remember correctly, I don't think it was ever broken up by being close to the ropes. I think he had it cinched in pretty well in the middle almost every time. He hit the Chaos Theory. He hit several German suplexes. I really thought they were giving this to Chad Gable. He's had the best and emotional vignette about this with involving his daughter and his family. I really, really thought they were giving this to Gable. But in the end, during the final ankle lock attempt, Sammy rolls his shoulders and is able to roll up Gable for the 1, 2, 3. So we will have Sami Zayn versus Gunther at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as you, that they would have Gable win it because there would be the out that Sammy already had two matches before that. And then if Chad won the title, then they could do the thing where Sammy says, well, hey, I mean, you beat me, yes, but I'd already wrestled prior to that. But hey, I'm perfectly happy with Sammy being the one to beat Gunther. I mean, I know people say that probably should be Chad because of the history, but I'm fine with it being Sammy also.
And there's also the point that just because he's in the match doesn't mean he's winning the match. That
correct. Yeah.
Retention is always on the table. He's not Roman after all. Well, that was Monday Night Raw. It'll be interesting to see where we are next week as the road to WrestleMania continues. And moving on to NXT, just quickly, I will give the results and some of my thoughts. In the North American title match, Obafemi defeats Brooks Jensen. The LWO defeats OTM, for people who like abbreviations and acronyms with their tag team wrestling. Shawn Spears defeats Ridge Holland. Ariana Grace defeats Gigi Dolin by disqualification via low blow. That's got to be a first. Roxanne Perez in-ring promo explaining her recent heel turn. And I was with her until she blamed her turn on you fans. And I was like, ugh, can we just get away from this trope of can a heel just turn heel or a babyface just turn heel for some other reason? Blaming the fans is lazy as fuck. Alexis King defeated Mr. Stone. Thea Hale and Fallon Henley lost to Kiana James and Izzy Dame. And then Trick Williams had an in-ring promo to wrap up the night where he challenged Carmelo Hayes to a match at Stand and Deliver. And then he was interrupted by Metaphor, and Noam Dar was trying to take out Trick Williams so that he could elevate himself past Trick. And Trick Williams, of course, got the upper hand, ended up punching Noam Dar, and he ended up kissing Lash Legend, who up until this morning, I had no idea they were actually dating. So he ends up kissing his girlfriend on TV. Hard role to play there. So this was NXT. I'm okay with this build to Stand and Deliver. I think it's going to be a lot of good matches. It's a morning pay-per-view, or at least it's going to start in the morning because of the earlier start to Mania. So Stand and Deliver will start at 11 a.m. Central Time. So a lot of wrestling on that Saturday. I don't want to say that this feels like NXT 2.0, because it's gotten a lot better since that regime and that era. But in terms of what entertains me, I feel a lot of this is hit or miss. Like it's not clicking on all cylinders as a Raw or a SmackDown is. And I don't know if it's just some of this stuff is super hokey and I'm just not into it all the time, or I'm just expecting too much. I don't know. I like the Shawn Spears stuff. I like how he's being presented like his character was in AEW when he was the chairman. I like this mini feud already with Ridge Holland, even though it's only lasted 3 weeks. There's a lot of good stuff in the women's division, but a lot of hokey, goofy-ass shit in the women's division. So, I don't know. It's really a lot of hit and miss. But I do like the ascension of Trick Williams. When he first started with Carmelo, I did not like him at all. I was like, who in the hell is this guy? And now I like him more than I like Melo. So go figure. All right. Well, that was Raw NXT in the news. On our next episode, 397, inching closer and closer to 400, we will review AEW Dynamite / Big Business. And it's fun that they're using these specialized names for some of these shows. It kind of reminds me of the Clash of Champions from WCW days. Always those WCW tie-ins. But that will be our next episode. We'll cover the news again. And until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.